Grace and peace to you, my friends. I am Betsy Turner. I am the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. And this is our worship message for Sunday, July 5th, the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and our 17th Sunday of gathering in this new way. I want to extend a special word of welcome to any friends from Fairview Presbyterian Church who may be joining us today as their pastor is away on some much-needed Sabbath rest. To those in the Stockbridge Presbyterian Church family, by now you should have gotten word through your elder, by email, and in our new July newsletter that we will not be gathering in person, at least through the month of August. We continue to be the church while apart, and we are checking those COVID-19 statistics daily, longing and hoping for a time where the numbers will turn in the direction so that we can move toward gathering once again, albeit with plenty of precautions in place to keep our people safe. We are working in the meantime on ways to connect in addition to the already existing Wednesday night fellowship by Zoom and our women's Bible study call on Thursdays. So stay tuned for announcements and look for new ways that you might connect during this time apart. For now, my friends, it is good for us to be together in worship and join our hearts and minds in praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In honor of the holiday this weekend, our opening hymn is Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. Our scripture reading this day comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. We are in the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. Jesus is speaking. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The old hymn asks, O soul, are you weary or troubled? And I think that almost all of us would answer yes in these days for one reason or another. We talked about this a little bit last week in my sermon about lament. We are weary. We are weary of COVID-19, The virus itself, the continual bad news of more cases and more deaths, the stress and anxiety upon us and our households, the loneliness and the monotony of isolation, the economic impact on us and our churches and on businesses around us, and the uncertainty of life during this time. We are troubled by family dynamics, work stresses, financial pressures, medical situations, mental health struggles, addictions, and crises of confidence and identity and faith. O soul, are you weary and troubled? Yes, we are. And Jesus speaks, "Come to me, all who are weary and who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is Jesus at his tenderest. Jesus, in his full humanity, reaching out with compassion, knowing your pain and suffering and your need, and offering relief and rest and consolation. This is Jesus in his full divine wisdom and power, offering that peace that passes all understanding. Jesus, gentle in spirit and humble in heart, meeting you and meeting me in the midst of whatever personal pain or grief or burden or loneliness or fear or anger or desperation or whatever else we may be feeling in these particular days. Thanks be that this is God's answer when we lament. This kind of love and peace is what meets us when we cry out. When you mourn and gnash your teeth and shake your fists through it all, God hears and the Spirit is with you, and your lament is met with this compassion and this grace, made flesh and spoken and lived out in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is gentle and humble in heart, and in whom you will find rest for your soul. And yet, I do want to challenge us as we read this passage. In a powerful article this week, Erna Kim Hackett writes about our tendency to read the Bible, one, in a pathologically individual way. We think it's about me and my God and my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when in fact most of the Bible is written in the plural and is concerned with community and God's redemption of peoples and nations and the whole world, not just distinct individuals. And then two, Hackett critiques what she calls Disney princess theology, that we tend to center ourselves in the story. We picture ourselves maybe not as the hero, but at least as the princess, the main character, the sympathetic character. So we always imagine ourselves as Esther and not Haman, as Peter the rock, not Judas the betrayer, as the woman anointing Jesus, not the Pharisees who critique her. Hackett calls that some very weak Bible work, and she cautions that it means that we who are people in power have no lens for locating ourselves rightly in Scripture or society, and it has made us blind and utterly ill-equipped to engage issues of power and injustice. So if we're going to take her words to heart, if we want to turn this passage and look at it a different way, I wonder what happens when we take these words of comfort And don't just hear them as a Hallmark card written from the heart of God to my tender self in my personal struggle and pain. What happens if we read it again, noting that all the pronouns here are plural? Come to me, all of you who are weary, and all y'all who are burdened, and I will give you all rest together. What happens when we understand that Jesus is addressing not just you personally in the singular or me personally in the singular, but all y'all, you and me together, along with our neighbors, along with all of those whom God loves, which is every last human being on the face of the good earth? What happens if we read these words through the lens of Jesus's particular preference for the poor and the oppressed and those who are out on the edges of society and those who are most vulnerable? What happens when we come to Jesus's words, recognizing our own privilege and power, our relative ease and comfort in this world? What happens if, just for a moment at least, we step to the side instead of standing at the center and listen to Jesus' words about burdens and weakness and weariness and pain, and wonder about who in our neighborhood and in our nation and in our world is most weary and most in need of unburdening? What happens when we wrestle with the ways that we have burdened and wearied others and benefited from the systems that do? What happens when we listen to those stories and then listen to these promises of peace as they are addressed first and particularly to those who are oppressed? What happens when we listen in a new way? One thing that happens if we listen in a new way is that we hear in a new way. We hear these words not just as a sweet and friendly greeting card sent to me to make me feel better, but as an invitation to us all to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Jesus. Listening with new ears, we will hear the challenge of taking on Christ's yoke, which is not meant to be burdensome or hard, but is meant to free us. As we join him in solidarity with the least of these, overturning tables of exploitation and injustice and living by his own gentleness and humility and peace. The other thing that happens if we listen a little harder and a little deeper to these words of Jesus, when we listen in this new way, when we de-center ourselves and hear these words spoken to others in our midst, we begin to understand the promises of Jesus even more fully. We have the blessing of coming to know that God's kingdom isn't just about patting us on the head and making us feel good and comfortable. By listening with a heart for our most burdened neighbors, we begin to hear the real power of God's promises, the real depth of Christ's love, how amazing grace really is, and how far it goes beyond our frailties and limitations and our biases and even our wildest imaginings. God in Christ is about the radical unburdening and reordering of the world toward freedom, toward peace, toward true comfort and rest. That's not just about the absence of conflict, but it's about the reality of a deep peace. A peace that is not just for you and me, but for our neighbors and for strangers and for enemies. And indeed, a peace and grace and comfort that are extended to the whole of creation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Thanks be to God. And amen. Faced with the abundant grace of God and how amazing it is that God has made the world and sustained it and called you and me to lives of faith and sent Christ among us in response to all of this goodness and all of this grace, it is fitting that we offer our very selves, all that we are and all that we have, toward the good work that God is doing in the world and toward ministries of peace and comfort and healing and grace. I invite you to give generously. Stockbridge family, you may give at spcusa.org or mail in those checks. And Fairview friends, I'm sure you know how to give to your own congregation. All of us give not out of compulsion, but out of generosity. We give as giving to the Lord. And thanks be to God for the privilege. Amen. As an act of praise, then, let us sing the doxology together.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And now let us pray. Heart of all hearts, whose love sustains us, hear our prayers this day. We bring to you our heavy burdens, seeking your lightness. And we bring you our weariness, seeking only the rest that you can give. On this 4th of July weekend, we celebrate and give you thanks for the gifts that are part of our heritage in this nation, the freedoms and rights we enjoy, the absence of tyranny, the inalienable rights to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. For all in this nation that is good and right and faithful to those ideals, we give you thanks and praise. And yet, even as we celebrate the best in and among us, we acknowledge that we have long and often fallen short of those high ideals that we say are at the heart of our nation. We confess before you that the sins of tyranny and exploitation, prejudice and racism, violence and brutality are also part of our heritage and our present reality in this country. Not all who call this land home find it a safe, welcoming, peaceful nation. And among us, even now, there are neighbors, especially people of color, who still cry out for their own full right to life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. And so it is most fitting on this of all weekends that we would pray for our nation, O God. We give thanks and we confess. We bring you both the gifts and the burdens. And we ask for your presence in this nation and indeed in all the nations of the world, that all your children would know true freedom and live in peace. We pray especially for our leaders, leaders around the world, our president and Congress, all the courts in this land from the supreme down to the local, our governor and our state government, and all our officials. Grant all those in seats and places of power, including us in whatever power we hold and wield, the gifts of wisdom and intelligence, courage and humility, honesty and a tender heart for all people, to lead and to live with fairness, and to seek the common good. We also pray, as we always do, but with particular urgency in these days, for the sick or the hurt and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, for the poor and those who are most vulnerable, for the long oppressed and those still waiting for justice, for the anxious and those who feel most alone. And we pray for ourselves, that you will give us what we need for the facing of the day and the hour and the situation, as long as it may go on. Hear us now as we name in silence or out loud in our own spaces our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. We make this and all our prayers in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, my friends, I charge you, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in Jesus' comfort and peace, and go to share that comfort and peace in the world. And go from this time trusting that you do not go alone. For the God who loves us, who sets us free, is present with us by the Holy Spirit now and forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.